Going to be studying, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I'm just going to read one verse tonight. The title of the sermon is entitled, The Grip of Fear, The Grip of Fear. And so if you'll turn there to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you happen to have a Bible at home and you're following along, whether you're following along on your electronic device or a hard copy Bible, follow along with us if you will. Of course, we will have some verses on the screen as well. And so hopefully we can be an encouragement to you this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me read that one more time. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, then obviously the spirit that we have that is fearful doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from our flesh. At times it can come from the situations in our life that we're experiencing. At times I'm sure that the devil, Satan himself, and his cohorts, his demonic forces, I'm sure, try to instill fear in those of us that are Christians. There is a spirit of fear in our culture. I'm sure we can all, it's palpable. We can sense it. We can feel it. We live during a time where there is a spirit of fear just about everywhere we turn. Considering all that is going on in our world, we can understand why many people are afraid. We think of the school shootings that take place. Obviously, that would make students and families of students fearful. We think of the shootings that take place even in churches. We've seen that happen. There seems to be an uptick in these kinds of events happening nowadays. We've seen shootings in theaters. We've seen shootings in stores and parking lots of stores. We've seen all these types of things. We've seen people take bombs and place them in their vehicles and blow their vehicles up and try to cause damage. These are reasons for people to be afraid, for people to have a sense of fear. We see, of course, new diseases, new sicknesses that are arising and coming into existence. We see the threat of war looming over our world. And we live in uncertain times, and to say the least, obviously, an uncertainty creates fear. Our society is gripped by fear right now. I would say that probably this is one of the times, at least in my lifetime, where I've seen more folks fearful and afraid than ever before. There may have been other times. I can remember on September 11, 2001, when the Twin Towers in New York were bombed and they collapsed. I remember the fear. I remember the trepidation. I remember the angst that people were experiencing. As a matter of fact, we had an uptick in church attendance. People started to seek for God and to seek for spiritual things a little bit more. Unfortunately, that was short-lived because people didn't remain that way. They didn't remain sensitive to God. And listen to what a person by the name of Anonymous, you may have met him at some point, he said this, quote, what we don't understand, we fear. What we fear, we judge as evil. What we judge as evil, we attempt to control. And what we cannot control, we attack. And so this whole thing of fear and being afraid and being fearful, it causes all sorts of problems within us, in our psyche, in our thought process, in our hearts. And God does not want us to live that way. He does not want us to live with a spirit of fear because he has not given us the spirit of fear. You see, fear paralyzes us. Fear stops progress. Fear hinders productivity. And that is not how God wants you and I as Christians to live. You see, because we should be living a life as an overcomer, because we are more than conquerors through Christ. We are overcomers. We are victors, and we are winners. And so God wants us to live that way. I almost sound like I'm giving some kind of a challenge to you know, secular folks. But nonetheless, as a Christian, we should be living from the perspective of a victory and victorious life In 1994, a study was done that showed that 15% of Americans suffered from severe anxiety. Severe anxiety, the type that would be categorized as a clinical diagnosis. As of 2009, that percentage was at 49%. 15% in 1994, 49% in 2009. I would imagine that it's a much higher percentage in 2021. We suffer greatly from stress, from worry, and from fear. According to a study in 1973, 50% of people believed that the average person was trustworthy. In 1973, people thought, you know, most people, one in two people, they're trustworthy. You know, I can trust them. I can depend on them. In 2013, that same study revealed that 67% of people believe that you could never be too careful in dealing with people. And so we see that there's been a change in perception. There's been a change in the way people think, the way people view others because of this anxiety, because of this stress, because of this spirit of fear, this grip of fear that people are living in. In 2021, we have more knowledge than ever before. We have more safety devices than ever before. We have better safety precautions and standards than ever before. However, we have more people that are more afraid than ever before. There's a spirit of fear permeating our culture. As the Apostle Paul traveled throughout the world while preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel, obviously we know that he would establish churches. And he established a church when he was in Ephesus. Ephesus was a place where Paul experienced much persecution. That is where the idol makers and the craftsmen, they started to riot, and they started a riot with inviting other people to riot. And the people there tried to kill Paul. And Paul, once he found out what was happening, of course, he skipped town. He got out of there. And later on in Paul's ministry, he appointed Timothy. He appointed Timothy as the leader to look after, to look over, to keep after the church at Ephesus. He put Timothy there. And so this book that we're reading tonight, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, this letter was written from Paul to Timothy, the pastor, the leader, the overseer of the church at Ephesus. It was written to Timothy to encourage him. He lived in a place that was very dangerous, a place that was very volatile. And this was not an easy place to lead a church. And I'm sure that Timothy at some point had some fears in his life. And of course, we know that Paul was writing this letter while he was in prison. Bible commentator John Phillips, he said this regarding the environment during which Timothy was pastoring the church at Ephesus. He said this, that Caesar, and I quote, "Caesar Nero was actively and aggressively persecuting Christians." Later on, Domitian also launched an attack, as did Commodus and Decius and Severus and Diocletian. Christians were slaughtered in the arena. They were burned alive in front of the statue of the sun god at the arena's entrance. Diocletian's persecution surpassed that of all of his predecessors. Every effort was made to stamp out Christians and to find and burn every existing copy of the scriptures, end quote. That was the environment where Timothy was pastoring the church at Ephesus. That was what was going on. These were the political leaders that were there. Can you imagine if we had political leaders in our day and age here in the United States of America that were actively persecuting Christians? I know some people will say, well, that's happening right now. Not like this. Not like this. Not like it was in Ephesus. Not like it was during that time. And it was during this time that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wrote these words in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. So verse number 5, we're going to read verses 5 through 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read it together here. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And notice the last phrase in verse number 8. He says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Of the afflictions of the gospel. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, don't forget your heritage. Remember where you came from. Remember what God has given you. He's given you a tremendous heritage through your mother, through your grandmother. And I've invested in your life. Hey, listen, what's happening in your life, what's going on around you, this whirlwind, this storm that's taking place, don't let it discourage you. Don't let it make you want to throw in the towel and quit. God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's encouraging him to not forget God's calling on his life. Even though the circumstances may be dark, even though the circumstances may be dreary, God has a special purpose for you, Timothy. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be fearful, but be filled with faith. You see, God wants to do great things through you, Timothy. Don't let fear diminish that. Hey, Christian, tonight I believe that God is telling us the same thing. In spite of what's going on, the swirling winds, the storm, everything that's the upheaval that's happening, the chaos that's taking place, he's saying, don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. I have a great work for you to do. I have a tremendous calling on your life. Don't let what's going on around you diminish my calling for you. You see, because we understand there's three points that we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. If we're not careful, we'll allow fear to seep into our hearts. We'll allow fear to seep into our lives, and that will hinder the work of God that he wants to do through us. So point number one, if you're following along, point number one, we see fear makes us powerless. Fear makes us powerless. Look again at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, therefore God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Of power. If we're fearing, we're not confident. If we're fearing and we're anxious and we're worried, then we're not resolute. We're not standing strong. We're shaky. We're almost to the point where we can't move forward. And fear is basically the opposite of faith. Fear makes us weak. It makes us powerless. When we're fearful, we're not confident. We're not bold. We're paralyzed. We're afraid when we feel powerless. And when we feel like there's nothing that we can do to help the situation, we feel hopeless. We feel hopeless. During the first part of the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, they didn't use any safety devices back then in the 1930s and 20s and 30s, and 23 men fell to their deaths during the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge. For the last part of the project, however, a large net which was purchased, which cost $100,000, a large net was put in place. And at least after the net was put in place, at least 10 men fell, and they did not die because they fell into the net and they were saved. They were spared. The interesting thing about this whole construction of the Golden Gate Bridge is that after the net was put in place, after that safety device was employed, 25% more work was accomplished. 25% more work was done. The workers had freedom. The workers had they were strong to get the work done because they weren't worried. They weren't fearful. They didn't think that if they made one mistake, they would fall to their death. And so they were more confident. They were more assured of their safety, so they were able to accomplish more work. They basically had more power to get more work done. And so that's how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live with that spirit of fear because it'll make us weaker. It'll make us less confident. We won't move forward for his glory. In Mark chapter 4, I like this interesting passage. Mark chapter number 4, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that they were going to get in the ship and they were going to cross to the other side of the sea. And while they were sailing to cross to the other side of the sea, as he told them they would do, a storm arose. A storm arose, and the disciples were afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ was sleeping there in the ship, and they were afraid. They were fearful. They were stressed out. They were anxious. They go to the Lord. They woke him up, and of course, the Lord Jesus, he calmed the storm. Then he said unto them, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto them, the disciples, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have, look at what he says here, no faith. No faith. When we're fearful, when we're afraid, when we are anxious and worried and stressed out and wringing our hands and constantly just worrying about every single little thing, the Lord is saying, our faith is much weaker. Our faith, he's saying here, they had no faith, zero faith, not just little faith, they had no faith. You know, I like what Pastor James Ford Jr., he said regarding the storms of life. He said, and I quote, many times the Lord Jesus waits to calm the storm around us because first he wants to calm the storm within us. You see, because if he calms the storm around us, but he doesn't, but we don't allow him to calm the storm within us, eventually the problem will arise again. The issues will come up again. The worry, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, it will come back if we don't have the storm within us be calm. And so what kind of storm you got swirling around you? What kind of issues you have that are stressing you out? What kind of anxiety-inducing things are happening in your life? Listen, God wants to calm the storm in your heart. He wants to calm the storm within you at times before he calms the storm around you. Faith is the opposite of fear. 1 John chapter 4 teaches us this truth. Verses 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, power, boldness in the day. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Once we experience the love of God, once we experience the grace of God, once we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then listen, we have experienced the love of Christ that's been shed abroad in our hearts, and that should dispel our fears. That should dispel our anxieties and our stresses that we have in our life. That doesn't mean that they'll go away completely and forever, but nonetheless, man, they should not overtake us. They shouldn't overwhelm us. We shouldn't be so stressed out that instead of walking by faith, instead of walking boldly and with power, we're walking in fear. And we're walking with less confidence. And at times we're not walking at all. We're sitting, we're laying, we're stopping, we're quitting, we're throwing in the towel. We're not doing what God has called us to do because we're fearful. You see, fear produces insecurity. Faith produces security. Listen to this story. A farmer had to go to town for supplies, and he realized that a river that he had to cross had frozen over. That river had frozen over. It was cold. It was winter. It had frozen over and thawed out and then frozen over again. And in the process of freezing and thawing, large chunks of ice had destroyed the bridge. The bridge that would cross over that particular river. And so by the time he got there, the river was frozen again and the bridge was out. The man was afraid that the ice might not be thick enough to support him. And so he decided to get down on his hands and on his knees. And so his weight would be distributed over four different points. And he slowly crawled across the river. And he thought to himself, man, I hope I make it. I hope I make it. I hope I make it. And he pulled himself up on the bank of the river on the other side. And he said, yes, I made it. Man, I made it. I'm so excited. And just then, as he was saying, I made it, he saw one of his neighbors drive across the river, the frozen river, in his horse and buggy without the ice cracking an inch. The man was so angry at himself that when he came back from town, instead of crawling, he walked across that frozen river stomping. He stomped on the ice as hard as he could all the way across. The man was just as safe both times he crossed. When he crossed the first time, he was just as safe as he was the second time. However, the first time he thought that he wasn't safe. He ended up straining and struggling and stressing and fearing and anxiety. And I don't know. I hope I can make it. I hope I can make it. I hope I can make it. And that second time he knew, he was confident. He knew that the ice would hold him. He knew that he was safe, and he was able to confidently and boldly cross the river. You see, that man's safety had nothing to do with his behavior. Whether he crawled, or whether he stressed or worried, or whether he stomped, his safety had nothing to do with his behavior. His safety had nothing to do with his behavior. It only had everything to do with the thickness of the ice. If you're standing on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be anxious. As a matter of fact, the Lord tells us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be stressed. Don't be worried. Don't be fearful. Listen, it is not either our faith or the strength of our faith that keeps us, that blesses us, that provides for us. It is God that keeps us. It is God that blesses us. It is the Lord that he is the one that is our provider. He is the one that's our sustainer. He is the one that's to care for us, not we ourselves. 1 Peter 1:5 puts it this way, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, it's not about me working. It's not about me doing. It's not about me growing and learning. And I should do all those things. But none of that is what's going to keep me from having the fear and having the anxiety and having the stress. Listen, it's all about my faith and my trust in Almighty God. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. You see, if I can trust God with my eternal soul, the salvation of my eternal soul, if I can trust God with my eternity, if I can trust God with what's going to happen after I die and leave this earth, then why in the world would I not trust God with something far less than eternity? Why in the world would I worry about how the bills are going to get paid and whether or not, you know, we're going to be sick or whether or not we're going to be healthy or whether or not, you know, the kids are going to turn out right or whether, listen, we should do all our due diligence and we should work towards, you know, doing the right things and hopefully having the right results. But at the end of the day, we trust God. We're not going to fear. We don't have, God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. God gives us the spirit of power. You see, we need to change our perspective. The human perspective says, it's a roadblock, I'm powerless. The divine perspective says, it's a runway, I'm powerful. The human perspective says, it's an obstacle filled with adversity. The divine perspective says, it's an opportunity filled with advancement. The human perspective says, there's a headwind and I'm anxious. The divine perspective says, there's a tailwind, and I'm assured. The human perspective says, it's holding me back. The divine perspective says, hey, it's pushing me forward. The human perspective says, it's a stumbling block. The divine perspective says, it's a stepping stone. It's all about what you're trusting in, what your faith, the object of your faith, not the size of your faith, not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith. Because if we're fearing, if we're stressed and we're anxious, we're not focusing on the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So fear makes us powerless. Let's look at point number two. Fear makes us weak, point number one. Fear makes us, number two, possessive. Fear makes us possessive. And by this I mean, fear makes us greedy. It makes us greedy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 once again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. If we're fearful, we're powerless. And of love. And of love. Let me ask you a question. What do people naturally do when they're in an emergency situation? What do people naturally do when there's chaos and there's things happening naturally? Now I know normally what people do is they take care of themselves. They take care of number one, numero uno, myself. That self-preservation kicks in and they start, when they're in a disaster, when they're in a chaotic situation, they're in an emergency situation, they usually start to care for themselves. They start to plot and plan and premeditate how they're going to make sure that they survive, even if that means someone else doesn't survive. You see, that's human nature. That's the natural response in an emergency situation. And so, but that's not love. That's the opposite of love. That's selfishness. And so when we're fearing and when we're in a, when we're mentally in a chaotic situation, in an emergency situation, and we're fearing, we automatically become selfish. We automatically become greedy. We automatically think about number one, numero uno, ourselves, and usually at the expense of others. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. But of love. You know, the opposite of love is selfishness. The opposite of love is greediness. The opposite of love is taking care of myself, because the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. That's true love. That's the greatest love. That's a paramount, tantamount love. But when I'm thinking of me and my stuff and my safety and my health and my well-being and my security, then I'm not thinking of others. I'm not thinking of others. There was a famine in the land. I think of the widow of Zarephath. There's a famine in the land. God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, and God told Elijah that he had a widow there who was going to feed him in the midst of this famine. And when he got there, he met the woman. He asked her for a drink of water. She brought him a drink of water, and then he asked her for a piece of bread. Now, when he asked her for a drink of water, no big deal. I'll give you some water. But when he asked for a piece of bread, that's when there was a problem. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 12, and she, the widow of Zarephath, said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal, flour, and a barrel, and a little oil, and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that I may eat it, that we rather may eat it and die. You see what she's saying? She said, wait a second, this is an emergency situation. All I got left is this. I can't give it to you. I'm going to use it for me and for my son. As a matter of fact, we're going to eat this, and that's our last meal. That's the last thing we're going to eat, and then we're going to die. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. She's being selfish. She's thinking of herself and not thinking of Elijah. Now, we see Elijah told her to feed him first, and God would reward her by miraculously causing the oil and the flour to not diminish until the famine was over. And then we see in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 15, and she went. So at first she was being greedy. At first she wasn't being loving. At first she was self-preserving, and self-preservation had kicked in. And she, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to save it for me and for my son, and we're going to eat it and die. And he says, don't worry. If you do this, God will provide for you. Now she went by faith. By faith, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Y'all remember back when this whole COVID thing first started? I think it was around March of last year. And I remember thinking to myself, this is insane what's happening. Because we would go to the store. I don't know if it was this way here in Virginia. I think it was pretty much everywhere. We'd go to the store, and we couldn't find toilet paper anywhere. Okay? Phil is nodding his head up and down, so he's saying that was happening here too. So you'd go to the store, and I mean, literally, people were fighting for this stuff. People were, I mean, they were getting in line and doing this and say, hey, this is mine. And listen, they were not showing love. They were trying to get everything, as much toilet paper as they could, all for themselves, and don't worry about anyone else, and I got to make sure I have. And that's not the spirit that God wants us to live with and live by. He wants us to live with the spirit of love. But that's what happens when we're fearful, when we're afraid, when we're stressed, when we're anxious. We start to self-preserve and start thinking only about ourselves and get greedy, and that's not how God wants us to live. Fear makes us powerless, number one. It makes us weak. Fear makes us possessive, number two. It makes us, it makes us greedy. Number three, fear makes us panic. Fear makes us panic. And by this I mean, It makes us unstable. It makes us, to be honest with you, a little crazy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And of a sound mind. This idea of a sound mind means thinking with logic. It means thinking with good judgment, being prudent. It means showing wisdom and applying wisdom to situations, a sound mind. When we're fearful, that fear takes away our ability to think rationally. We think with our emotions instead of thinking with our minds. We've all seen, again, scenarios of emergency situations and how chaotic, how people start to panic and people don't think clearly and they do really silly things that exacerbate the situation. Instead of making it better, they make it worse. Why? Because they panic. They're not thinking clearly. They're not thinking logically. And that's what happens when we're living with a spirit of fear. When we're living and making decisions and going about our day-to-day lives constantly fearing, constantly afraid, all the time stressing and wringing our hands and panicking and worrying. And man, God does not want us. As a matter of fact, it tells us in this verse, he did not give us that spirit. That spirit comes from our flesh. That spirit comes from the influences that are in our lives. That spirit comes from, who knows, the devil himself. But it does not come from God. It doesn't come from the Lord. June 18th, 1815, was one of the most decisive days in world history. Napoleon Bonaparte had just left the island of Elba, where he had been exiled. He was rebuilding his army. He sailed back to the mainland of Europe with 75,000 of perhaps the finest fighting troops in the world at that time. There, Napoleon was attempting to reconquer Europe, and it seemed as though no one was going to be able to stop him. The Duke of Wellington, who was the commander-in-chief of the British forces, offered to do his best to stop Napoleon. He gathered about 67,000 troops from Britain and various allied countries in Europe. He engaged Napoleon in battle in a village in Belgium named Waterloo. Waterloo. This is the Battle of Waterloo. This was to be the most decisive battle in the history of Europe in many respects. If Napoleon won this battle, then he would more than likely continue his raid and conquering of the rest of Europe. The battle raged for hours. The people in England were waiting and wondering, can the Duke of Wellington win this battle? Can we overcome this enemy, this force that's coming at us? They arranged a way to get the news of the results of the war as soon as possible. They had set up a plan in which a ship would sail into a specific channel. That ship would use flags to relay the message of who won the battle to those who were on the shores of Dover up in a tower with spyglasses fixed on the ship. Later that day, the ship began signaling with the flags. The men in the tower began noting carefully the message. It said in letters spelling out, Wellington defeated. Wellington defeated. Then a fog came over the ship. The lookout was discouraged, but he got the message out as quickly as he could. And so they sent it through messengers all throughout England. And there were people all over the place waiting. And the news spread like wildfire all across England. And Wellington defeated. Wellington defeated. They knew that it was just a matter of time before Napoleon would sail across the channel and conquer their country as well. Hopelessness and despair set in. Panic and fear gripped the community. About an hour later, the fog lifted, and that same ship fired a cannon to get the attention of those that were in the tower. And the flags began to signal the third and final word of that message. Wellington defeated Napoleon. Wellington defeated Napoleon. You see, the complete message was not that Wellington had been defeated, but that Wellington had, in fact, defeated Napoleon. What a difference that third word made to that message. What a difference that complete message made to all those that were in England, all those that were panicking and worrying and stressing and fretting and fearing. What a difference that third word made. Then that news was spread throughout England, and joy and excitement filled the hearts of the people once again. You know, for us as Christians, there came a time when we read in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ, he was defeated. Where the Lord Jesus Christ, he had experienced what seemed to be defeat. He had lost. When he was crucified, when he died, when he gave up the ghost, when he was dead there on that cross. But that wasn't the complete message. The third day, not the third word, but the third day, he ascended, he rose, he resurrected, and now we have the victory. Now we're winners. Now we're overcomers. Now we don't have to be overwhelmed. Now happiness and joy and contentment and all kinds of, we should be feeling all of that as long as we think about the full message, the full message. The entire message, not just his death on the cross, but also his resurrection on the third day. Not just him giving up the ghost there on Calvary, but also his resurrection 3 days later. We must consider the whole message. I read this quote, I believe it was yesterday or the day before. Pastor Richard Wallace of the Temple Baptist Church in Flower Mound, Texas, he tweeted this. And I thought it was a good one. I liked it on my Twitter feed. He said, and I quote, he says, I don't know who came up with this or who wrote it or who said it initially, but I like it. And he said, trying times are not the time to quit trying. Trying times are not the time to quit trying. You see, if all we had was sunshine and all we had was positive things happening and everything just peachy and no problems. Listen, if all we had was sunshine, we'd have a desert. But if all we had was rain, then we'd have a muddy mess. But listen, God gives everything to us in balance. And he wants us to remember that. He wants us to think about the full message. Instead of just looking at this perspective and this isolated incident and this situation in my life that's happening right now, and think about the full message. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He gave you eternal life. He has given you his the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's given you a copy of his word. He has a home in heaven he's preparing for you. Listen, he's going to come again and receive you. Listen, what we're going through here in this life, yes, there are some fearful events. And yes, there are some things that are nerve-wracking. And yes, there are some things that cause us to be anxious. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Christian, tonight, I'm encouraging you, in spite of all that's going on in our world, in spite of all that's happening even in our church, in spite of all that's going on in our community, don't live with the spirit of fear. Don't be fearful. Hey, we need to walk confidently. We need to walk in power, walk in love, and think with a sound mind. Let's make sure that our neighbors, our coworkers, those of us that know that we're a Christian, they don't see us worrying and fretting and stressing and getting all worked up and anxious. Hey, may they see someone who's steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, someone who's trusting God, someone who's not fazed when things go wrong, someone who has just a steady, consistent walk with God, no matter what's going on around them. You see, God's not going to calm the storm around you until you allow him to calm the storm within you. But what's the storm that you have going on within you? Hey, let's give it over to the Lord. Let's give it to God. Let's trust him. Let's have faith instead of fear. Hey, let's walk in power instead of cowering. Let's walk in love instead of being selfish. And let's walk and act and speak with a sound mind instead of panic. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word, for its convicting power. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have made it abundantly clear to us that we should not live in fear. We should not walk with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, help us to understand your fullness and your complete work that you've done for us. Lord, help us not to just have that laser focus only on the immediate, only on the instant, the right now. But Lord, help us to remember the overall picture. Help us to know, Lord, that you love us. You want what's best for us. And Lord, no matter what happens to us, Lord, it's all filtered through your heavenly fingers. And Father, we love you. Help us to trust you. If you're watching tonight, maybe you're a member of First Baptist Church, or maybe you're a faithful attender of First Baptist Church, or maybe you're just a friend. You're just an extended friend of First Baptist Church, or maybe you're a total stranger. Maybe we don't even know who you are. Listen, if you're living in fear tonight, we encourage you. Get in the Word of God. Find a good church family for those of you that are strangers. For those of you that are here, obviously, man, stay involved. Stay connected with your church family. Trying times is not a time to quit trying. Let's make sure that when fear starts to creep in, that we decide, man, we're going to do all that we can to live with power and love and a sound mind. There's a number and an email address there on the screen.